Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom. We're now nearing the end of the third parak of Masechet Gittin on the Mishnah and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, which is Mishnah Zion in the parak. We will focus on this Mishnah and its attendant Gemara for the duration of this Shiur. And it continues with the premise of Chezkat Chayim or Chezkat Kiyum, the assumption that something or somebody who has been left intact remains so until we find out differently. Now, the circumstances of this need a little bit of a background. We're already familiar with Trumot and Masrot, and Truma goes to the Kohen, Maser Rishon goes to the Levi, Maser Oni in the third and sixth year goes to the poor. That would involve the Kohen and the Levi and the Oni respectively coming to the granary and collecting their piece. So let's say that an owner of a field makes the following offer to, as for example, to a Kohen. It says, how much truma do you think you could get from my field? And then, of course, subtract from that the amount of perhaps workers or investment you'd have to make in coming to collect it. And here's what I'll do. I will give you that money now. Let's say that you think you could get $500 worth of stuff. So I will lend you the $500 now. And if everything works out fine, then I will separate the truma in your name. I will sell it, $500 worth, to another Kohen, keep the money, and that will be the payback for this loan. Of course, if for some reason my field becomes damaged and I don't have any crops, then you don't have to pay me back. I'm lending you against, or you're borrowing from me against, the potential truma that you would get out of this field. So now, let's say that he does that. Mafrish alehen michalkan. That Kohen was here 6 months ago. Now he's gone. I am now, I've got my crop. I can separate Trumot and Masrot, assuming that he's still alive, to give it to him, and then I collect from that. Mafrish alehen michazkat shein kayamin. I can assume that these people are still alive. I don't have to be concerned that the Kohen or Levi is dead, in which case, of course, I can't separate to give it to them because they're not alive anymore. And nor do I have to be concerned that the poor man is no longer poor and would not be getting Maser Ani now. I can assume he still is poor. Now, second half of this is Metu. What happens if I do know that they died in the interim? Tzarich lekabel reshut min ha-yorshim. The heirs are not responsible for the debts of their parents. So therefore, this Kohen who died, his heirs are not responsible to pay it back, and therefore I don't have the right to separate Trumot and keep that Truma, or to sell it and keep the money to pay back a loan that nobody has an obligation to pay him back. So I have to go to the Yorshim and get their permission to do so with the Truma that is due to them. Otherwise, I cannot do so. Im hilvan bifnei beitin, however, if the original deal was made, not privately, but in the presence of beitin, then einot tzrich litol reshut manei yorshim. Then I do not need to get the responsibility of the yorshim, to get the permission of the yorshim to separate trumot masrot on their behalf and keep the money to pay back the loan. Because once I did it in front of beitin, there's a rule of hefker, beitin, hefker, and beitin can assign the debt in any which way that they see fit, and that's how that will work. Alright, now, the Gemara immediately addresses one critical issue, which is that in the normal scenario where the Kohen is still alive, the Kohen never got a hold of the fruit. In other words, it's not as if I separate the fruit, give the truma to the Kohen, and then he gives it back to me to pay back the debt. He's not around. So how can he pay back a debt with stuff that he never gets a hold of? So we have three answers to this problem. Amarav makare kuhuna ulavia. He says the circumstance we're talking about is where you have your familiar Kohen or Levi or Ani that you always give your Trumot and Maaserot to. And therefore, in the case of Makarei Kuna Ulevia, it's as if they've already gotten it because they're the only ones I ever give it to. Shmuel says a different scenario. When I am, in fact, designating and separating the Trumot and Masrot, months later, I have another person standing there. I said, acquire this on their behalf. And then I take it back, sell it, etc. Right? And Ula Amar Hamani Rabbi Yosi, Ula gives a third answer, which is that the author of this Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. Why? The Amar Asu Che'ino Zocheh Kezocheh, that the Chachamim, in all sorts of circumstances, and Rashi points us to several things that we'll get to at the end of the fifth parak, towards the end of the fifth parak, that Chachamim accorded ownership to those who haven't formally taken possession, Netikun Olam. So the same thing here is, even though this Kohen's not present, we're considering as if he got a hold of the fruit and gave it back, and then it's being sold. Now, Rav Shmuel and Ula. So that means that Shmuel and Ula didn't agree with Rav's position of Makarei Kuna and do that through the line. Kulu Karav Lo Amri. Why did Shmuel and Ula not accept Makarei Kuna? The answer is Makarei Lo Tani. It doesn't say Makarei Kuna. It just says any coin. It doesn't have to be your unique special coin that you always give everything to. Kishmuel Lo Kami. Rav and Ula did not agree with Shmuel that it was Mazaka Ned Acherim. Mazaka Lo Tani. The Mishnah doesn't say that you have to have a second person there when you're designating, and he does it on behalf of the coin or Levi or the Ani. Ula Nami Lo Amri. Nobody, Rav and Shmuel, did not accept Ula's position that this was authored by Rabbi Yossi, because Ki Yechido Alo Maglinan. We don't want to attribute our Mishnah to a sole and isolated opinion as opposed to the consensus. Okay, now we're going to see a Braita, which is in the Tosefta and Gittin, which is an expansion on our Mishnah, and we'll add in several features not found in our Mishnah, which we will then analyze. Tana Rabbanan, here's the Tosefta. So far, just like the Mishnah. Again, just like the Mishnah, we assume that they're still alive several months later when we are separating. Here's the other thing, is that you can agree with them in advance that whatever the lowest market value of this fruit is, they will borrow the money based on that. Which means that if, for instance, they're borrowing $1,000, so you say, okay, $1,000 at the lowest market value between, and this is according to many Rishonim, between now, at the time of the loan, and at the time, 6 months later, let's say, at the time of designating the fruit, whichever is the lower market rate is what you're borrowing at, which means that it's far more fruit to fill in $1,000, and if I, in the end, can sell it and get more money for that, that's my gain. As the lender. According to Rashi, this is one statement. Other Rishonim read it as two separate statements. There is no rebate. There's no usury involved, even though I may end up making money on this loan. We'll see why. Vein shvit misham tato. And this loan is not canceled by Shemitah. Vim balach zor eno chozer. However, once the deal has been made between the time of the loan and the time of the payback via Trumot and Masrot, he, we'll see who he is, cannot renege on it. Now, Yeshua Baalim, if the owner of the field gave up, meaning if they thought that there was going to be no crop that year, Ein Mafrish Aleim, then, and let's say that later is a crop, he cannot now be Mafrish for them because we've given up on the idea and the loan has been forfeited. You cannot be Mafrish on that which is lost. In other words, you cannot designate to cover that which is lost, and because everyone assumed that this field was not going to produce because it was late rains or whatever reason, therefore you can't be mafrish on them, and the loan is forfeited. That's the Braita. Now, Amar Mar, Posek Imam Kishar Azol. The first thing that was new in this Braita was it said that you can separate things based on the lower market value. Pshita, that's obvious. So obviously, you can set whatever deal you want. The answer is that that's the default. In other words, if you don't set a particular price, just say, here's $1,000, and we'll separate Chumat to Masort, connect it, corresponding to that value. Which value do we assign? The cheapest, the lowest market value. Now, there's no rebate here. Why? My time a cave and the chilate le lo yahiv le. You have to see who the personal pronouns here are. Chilate le lo yahiv le, meaning if he doesn't have, meaning if the field doesn't produce anything, then the coin doesn't have to pay anything back. Therefore, ki it le nami in bo mishum rebate. Therefore, if it does produce, there is no rebate involved. In other words, this is not an out-and-out loan, and the best proof of that is that if there's a drought or for some reason the balabayit isn't successful, the kohen doesn't have to pay anything back. He's already sort of paid it back in potential, and it's just a question of it playing out in Trumot and Masrot. Therefore, there is no rebate. Vein shvit misham tato. Shmita does not cancel this debt. Why? Delo karina belo yigos. Because, again, the owner, the lender, is not coming after the borrower to collect. Shmita is about lo yigos. He's not allowed to come after, chase him down to get the loan. And therefore, Shemitah is not affected by this. Now, Vimbalach Zor Eno Choser. The end of the Brayta said that he cannot, near the end of the Brayta said he cannot, renege on the deal. Amar Papa Loshano El Bal Habayit Bekoin. Rav Papa limits this. He says that means that the lender cannot now, in the middle, when he suddenly sees he's going to have no crop or anything, he can't go back on it and say, no, I want my money back, the deal's off. Aval Kohen, Aval Abayit, but if the Kohen wants to change his mind, Im Balach Zor Choser, he may change his mind. Why? Dinan, Natan Lo Ma'ot, V'lo Mashachim En HaPerot, Yechol Achzor Bo. If you pay for something, and you to buy it, and you haven't yet taken possession of the thing, you can renege on the deal. So in the same way, he took the money, he didn't yet get the payrot, therefore he can renege on the deal until the payrot actually come. Now, the end of the Brayta wasn't Yashua Baalim, if they gave up, Ein Mafrish Aleihem. Why? Pshita. It's obvious that if there is no yield, and that's what it seems like, then you cannot, then they've given up and the loan's been forfeited, and if somehow magically there's growth, then it's too late. And so Tzricha Da'akun, we're talking about a situation where the stalks became very brittle. Ma'udatema akanta miltahi, I might think that that's still part of proper growth, kamash malan, that it's not. And once it's reached that stage, we say, it's farfallen, this crop is not going to happen, everybody's given up on it, and if later on it grows properly, that's something new, and the loan has been forfeited. Okay, Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, ha'malvema otata koin v'talivi beveitin. So he adds in a new piece. If you make this loan in beitin, umeitu mafrishalein mechizkat oto hashevet. Let's say you know they died. You could still separate Shemot and Masrot on behalf of the entire Shevet, and again, sell it, collect back your loan. Ve'atani beveitin, let's say that you lent money to the Ani and the Beitin and Mate, and he died before you could give him the Trum, the Masrot. Mafrish Allah v'chezkat Ani Yisrael. You can separate it on sort of on behalf of other Anim. Rabbi Achim v'chezkat Ani Olam. He disagrees and he says, expands it further and says, you can separate it on behalf of all the Anim. My Benai, so what's the difference between the two versions? Whether Ani Ekutim, whether the poor of the Samaritans are included, and it really comes down to the Machloket, we've discussed this several times, the Machloket that existed in the times of the Mishnah, by the times of the Gemara, it was already moot, whether the Kutim were Gerei Emet or Gerei Arayot, whether they were really legitimate Jews, and therefore they're included among Ani Yisrael, or they are really not Jewish because they are Gerei Arayot, and therefore, you cannot be mafrish on their behalf. You could only be mafrish for Ani Yisrael. Ani Olam would mean that you could include the Kutim also. Now, Ashir Ha'ani. Let's say the poor man didn't die, but he came rich. Ain mafrish alav. V'zachav ha'alo b'mashi b'yado. You cannot be mafrish on his behalf, because he's no longer an Ani. He can't be mafrish for other Anim, because the guy's still alive. So what happens? He gets to keep it, and you lose. Now, if Rabbanan Maishna Lemita de Avud Takanta, Umaishna Lashir de Avud Takanta, so why did the rabbis say that if the guy dies, there's a solution, which is to be mafrish on behalf of the whole tribe or the whole group? On the other hand, if he becomes rich, they didn't make such a takana, and you lose it. Why? Mita Shchicha, because everybody dies. Death is common, and it's so common it happens once per person. Ashirut lo shchicha, but for a poor person to become rich is not all that common. Therefore, they did not make a takana against that case, against that situation. Our papa, hainud amrinshi, that's why people say, chavrach mit ashar, it asher lo ta ashar. If somebody says to you, your friend died, believe him. But if he says your friend became rich, don't believe him so quickly. In other words, death is a common fate of all men. Becoming rich is not necessarily the legacy and the future, the destiny of all men. Okay, the end of the Mishnah said, Mate, Tzarich Litol Rashut, right? That if the Kohen or Levi died, you have to get Rashut from the Yorshin. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Yorshin She Yarshu. Rebbe said, which heirs? The heirs that inherited. So, Mika Yorshin Delo Yarti, but wait a second, how can you have heirs that didn't inherit? What is Rebbe saying? Rabbi Yochanan She Yarshu Karka means that they have to be heirs that inherited land. If they only inherited chattel or notes or whatever it may be, then you cannot collect from that. Literally means the size of a needle. What he means is, Rav Yonatan says, if the father only left a tiny piece of land, that's all you can collect from. And if it doesn't cover the debt, too bad. Malo kardom, gove malo kardom. A kardom is a combination tool of an axe and a shovel. But it means if he left more land, then you have more land to collect from. Yochanan amar, filu niach malo machat gove malo kardom. Even if he left a little bit of land, you can collect from the other property that they have that's not real estate, that's chattel, you can collect the entire debt. Uchmased de katina de abaye. That's a story that we studied in Ketubot with Abaye's sharecropper, etc. Tanarabani, Yisrael shamar levi maaser yishtachav yadi. If a Jew comes up to a levi and says, I have some maaser of yours in my hand, so, and he's going to give it to him. En choshin l'trumat maaser shabo. You do not have to be concerned about the trumat maaser. Remember, when a levi separates maaser, he then is given maaser, he then has to separate one-tenth of that. A trumat maaser goes to the kohen. It's also to eat from it before he separates it, and the trumat maaser, of course, is also to eat as is until you give it to the kohen. He can eat it. So if you said, I have some maaser of yours, you don't have to be worried about trumat maaser. Maaser yesh, kor maaser yesh l'chav yadi, but if he says a specific amount, then choshin l'trumat maaser shibo. Then you do have to be concerned. So my kamar, what is this statement? Nobody can figure out what this statement is. So three takes on it. Amar Abai, first take. Hachi kamar, Yisrael shamar l'levi. If a Jew says to a levi, maaser yesh l'chav yadi. Alright, I have some maaser, meaning I've separated some maaser. I want to give it to you. It belongs to you. V'helach tamav, but instead I'm giving you the money. You don't have to be concerned that perhaps he made that stuff that you're calling maaser, trumat maaser, on some other piece, which means it's then asur. But kur maaser yishtachabi adivit, if he says a specific amount, and here's the value of that, right? That then we are concerned that perhaps, because he's setting a specific amount, he's got a specific amount in mind, why does he know exactly how much there is there? Maybe because he made a trumat maaser to cover another crop. Now, atavishi yaskinen, but I understand, are we dealing here with wicked people? Shakli dami mashvili trumat maaser, they take money for the maaser and then they turn it into trumat maaser, that's a wicked act. They're messing up this food for other people, not telling them. Rather, the explanation is as follows. Yisrael shamar leven levi. Yisrael said to the son of a levi, meaning he's talking now about the dead father's holdings. Maser lavicha biadi. It doesn't have to be dead, but your father had some maser that I have that I was holding on to. It belongs to him. Helach tamav, here's the money. Aviv trumat maser al makom acher. We don't have to be concerned that the father has already made that trumat maaser for another piece. But kur maaser levicha biyadi, but if he says, I have a kur, a certain amount of maaser of your father, v'helach tamav, here's the money, choshin shemaaso aviv trumat maaser makom acher. Then we do have to be concerned about that, because again, he's using a specific amount. But that means that this father supposedly separated Trumat Maaser from something that wasn't in front of him. That's in the Shalom Amukaf, which is an Isur Rabbanan, of separating Trumot and Maasrot, something in front of you, to cover something that's not in front of you. Alright, so El Amar Vashi, we have a third take. Hachi Kamar. Ben Yisrael Shamar Levi. So now it's the son of the Yisrael, meaning the son of the guy who was holding the stuff, says to a Levi, Kach amar li abba, father told me, sounds like father's dead, maaser lecha biyadi, I have some maaser of yours, or maaser lavicha biyadi, I have some maaser of your father's. Choshin l'trumat maaser shivo. Now he flips it, he says, if he just says maaser, then we're concerned that there's trumat maaser. Kevan de lo kitz, because he didn't set a particular amount, so some of it may be trumat maaser. Lo havi metakin le balabait, therefore the balabait would not have fixed it, and because it's not a set amount, and therefore we have to be concerned that there's still trumat maaser in it. Remember, this is a flip from the original read. Kur maaser lecha biyadi, but if he says, father told me that I have a kur of maaser in my hands, or kur maaser lavicha biyadi, ein choshin l'trumat maaser shibo, then you don't have to be concerned. Why? Kevin dekeets, tkuni takanta balabayit, takante balabayit. Since there's a set amount that he's dealing with, we know that the balabayit already fixed it, because he knows exactly how much there is, that he already took care of it, and there is no trumat maaser in it. Now, v'chiyesh l'reshut l'balabai, l'trum trumat maaser, but wait, since when is the Yisrael allowed to separate trumat maaser? Remember, the Yisrael separates truma, gives it the coin, separates maaser, gives it to the levi. The levi then separates trumat maaser. Since when can the balabai separate trumat maaser, that we're saying that when a Yisrael says, I'm giving you some of my maaser, you don't have to be concerned about the trumat maaser in it? Of course you do. He can't separate it. The answer is in. He can. Abba Elazar ben Gamlahi. It's based on that authority. The Tanya of Elazar ben Gamlahi Omer, v'nechshav lachem terumatchem. In the Parsha of Trumat Maaser, it says it shall be considered Trumatchem in the plural. It could be read as the plural. B'shtei Trumot HaKatum Adaber. It's referring to both Trumot. Achat Trumat Gdola, Achat Trumat Maaser. One is the regular Trumot, one is Trumat Maaser. And now, the putting them the two together, what can each teach about the other? Kashem Shetruma Gdola until it be Omed of Machshava, just like regular Truma can be taken without saying a word, Machshava. And it can also be taken by Omed, meaning you don't have to separate exactly 2%. You just eyeball it and separate it. Kach Trumat Maaser until it be Omed of Machshava, which is a Chiddush, because Trumat Maaser is a tenth, not just any amount. Nonetheless, it can be done by eyeballing, and it can also be done by Machshava. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to say that part is Trumat Maaser. You think it's good enough. Shem Sheishto Rishut the Balabayit, the Trum Trumat Gdola, just like the Balabayit separates Trumat Gdola, obviously, who else is going to do it? Kach Sheishto Rishut the Balabayit, the Trum Trumat Maaser. Similarly, because of the comparison, the juxtaposition, as it were, of Trumat Gdola to Trumat Maaser, similarly, the Balabayit has the right to separate Trumat Maaser on his own before he's given the Maaser to the Levi. And that explains the scenario that we just dealt with. Okay, we'll stop at this point, and the final mission of the Perek, which is staring us staring at us right here on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, which will continue with the notion of Chezkat Kiyum, will be the highlight and the focus of the next podcast, will be the final one on the third Perek. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.